Wheat futures tried to work to the upside, but corn and soybean futures didn't want anything to do with a rally ahead of tomorrow's USDA reports. Buyers did, however, return to the cattle complex after prices traded lower to start the day, and lean hog futures posted a third consecutive higher close.
Live from the height of the Hump Day Hub Hub via Farm Journal broadcast, this is AgriTalk. This afternoon, it's a conversation with Matt Campbell from StoneX. Directly following the news, Todd Bubba Horwitz from BubbaTrading.com. I'm handsome newsman Davis Michelson. Now welcome the host of AgriTalk, Chip Flory.
All right, Davis. Good stuff. Thank you, Davis Michelson. It is good to talk with you.
Absolutely.
Again. How are you?
I'm okay. I'm a little perplexed.
Oh.
Can you help me with something? Our listeners may have noticed I got like a half a sentence into the news and had a coughing fit.
Oh, yeah.
What happened was it was an ill-timed English muffin is really what it was. But I thought to myself, I'm sitting here staring at this delicious, crispy English muffin, thinking that the English have done it right. They have devised a way to have a muffin without the stump. Oh, I never thought of it that way before.
It's just kind of the top.
It's just the top. Yeah.
Yeah.
Now, unfortunately, all the moisture and the delicious flavor and everything has also been drained out along with the stump.
Yeah, you got to go heavy with the butter and jam.
Oh, sure.
On those things.
Yeah. I mean, it'll cost you to get rid of that stump, but, you know, if that's right in the toaster, it's great. It's great.
It's awesome.
I thought the coughing was fake. I thought it was part of the act.
You thought it was made up?
Yeah.
Thank you, Joe. Thank you.
No, it didn't really sound. I mean, we've heard some real doozies in our time, and that one was kind of, you know, it didn't sound like it was quite the hacking fit that we've heard before. And I'm like, oh, he's just doing something.
You thought maybe, maybe it was just a show cough.
Yeah.
Is that what you thought?
I mean, I didn't know where you were going with it, I was like, oh, well, okay.
I appreciate your respect for my professionalism. Yeah, I'm a showman. Thank you, Joe.
There you go. Welcome to AgriTalk. I'm Chip. That's Davis.
How?
And that is the summary of this morning's coughing fit.
That's about it. I think we covered
it. That's it. Good deal. We got Matt Campbell on the show today.
Yeah, we do.
We've got the quarterly grain stocks report. We've got the prospective plantings report coming our way tomorrow morning, 11 o'clock Central Time. Mm-hmm. And Matt is going to help us get ready for those reports with, you know, we'll do some what if scenarios ahead of the report and see what it'll take to be negative, see what the numbers might need to be price positive. So we'll get into that with Matt. All right, let's get to the news.
You bet. Well, May soft red winter wheat futures opened slightly lower and extended losses in the overnight session. When selling exhausted under yesterday's low, the market worked back to the upside, tested resistance at 550 and posted a high range close. Mm-hmm. Fundamentally, the wheat market is very quiet at this time. There is some anxiety over Ukraine's shipment of wheat into neighboring countries, but it looks like the exports from Ukraine will continue to find their way into the market. July HRW wheat futures were steady, 574. July SRW wheat up 3.5 to 562.75. July spring wheat closed at 657.25. That's up 3.75 cents, Chip.
There are still headlines coming out of Ukraine. The difference is now they're not market moving headlines out of Ukraine. Right. It's just, you know, headlines.
Yeah. Well, positioning ahead of tomorrow's quarterly grain stocks and prospective plantings reports had the corn market under pressure today. Traders are looking for 2024 planted corn acres of about 91.77 million. Chip, that'd be down about 2.9 million acres from a year ago. Ethanol production in the week ended March 22 averaged 1.054 million barrels per day. That's up 8,000 barrels from the previous week and 49,000 barrels ahead of the same week last year. Ethanol stocks increased only very slightly to 26.092 million barrels. May corn opened on session highs and at yesterday's low, then tumbled through support to post a close near session lows. And at the lowest level since March 5, May corn futures 5.75 cents lower, 426.75. July corn down 5.75 to 439.25. December corn futures closed at 462.25, down 5.75 cents, Chip.
I'm going to call it a disappointing day in the corn market. The market really didn't have any reason to go down other than following through to yesterday's losses, and the market just couldn't get it done.
Yeah, I don't like that. Well, follow through from Tuesday's sell-off hit the soy complex today. May bean futures gapped lower, firmed to fill the gap, then turned back to the downside to post a low-range close. Front-month beans have posted consecutive lower closes but are still inside of Monday's price range. Support is at Monday's low of 1180.5. Traders are watching the Brazilian bean harvest wrap up. Reports do indicate harvest is nearly done in Mato Grosso with great yields on late harvested beans. May soybeans were 6.5 cents lower, 1192.5. July beans down 6, 1206.5. November beans closed at 1183.5. Chip, that's down 7.5 cents.
Yep, the Brazilian producers are giving us another dose of better than expected on those yields. Nah. And the market's showing some pressure because of that.
Well, July cotton was 242 points lower today, 91.44. On your livestock's April fat cattle futures opened higher, fell to test support at yesterday's lows, then recovered to close just above the opening range. The inside day with upside momentum will have traders targeting a move back to 185 in April futures before the end of the week. April fat cattle were 50 cents higher today, 183.60. June futures gained 30 cents to 178.67.5, and April feeders, 1.42 higher, 246.87.5. And on the snout side, April lean hog futures opened near session lows and pushed through resistance at yesterday's high before setting back to close mid-range. April lean hog futures 52.5 higher, 86.10. June contract up 25 cents, 101.60, Chip.
All right. Thank you very much, Davis. Let's bring in Todd Horwitz, BubbaTrading.com. How you doing, Bubba?
What's up? Listen, a blessed Good Friday and happy Easter, happy Passover to everybody, first of all. Second of all, Davis, go to 180 before 185.
180
before 185. That's before I say anything else.
Let me put that in my notes.
Before they see 185, they'll see 180.
So are you on the red side of the cattle market right now?
I'm on the red side of cattle. I'm hoping to finance my new home with the red side of cattle.
You know,
I got a shopping cart I can live in.
The last time we were here on that September break, you could have financed a new home with that call from Septides.
I think there's going to be a big break. Look, again, the economy is in really bad shape. I don't care what they tell me. I know that.
Did we lose him?
Oh.
Did we lose me?
No, I'm here. Are you here?
I'm here.
I
think we lost Bubba.
Yeah, I think we lost Bubba.
Doggone it.
I don't like the sound of it. He was about to really get into it, too, wasn't he?
He was.
Mm-hmm.
He was. And...
Hello, I'm here.
Oh, hey, there you are.
Hello? There you are. There you are.
I'm here. I didn't go anywhere. Look, the economy's in bad shape, Chip. I don't care what they tell us. I mean, let's be honest. I mean, people are homeless. People aren't working. There's more layoffs coming. Food prices keep going down at the wholesale end, but at the retail end, they haven't gone down yet. So how are we all going to survive this? This is like the biggest joke of all time. It's a sad joke, but it's a joke with what this administration is doing to this economy.
Yeah, Bubba, I want to get I want to get you on for the whole show sometime with me because I want to talk about, you know, the risk of stagflation and what that could do to the market, because that's where we're heading, isn't it?
100%. We're headed back to 1979 and Jimmy Carter.
Oh, all right. We'll do it soon. Happy Easter, buddy. We'll talk to you later.
Hey, happy Easter. Blessed Good Friday. Happy Passover. Thanks, everybody.
All right. Todd Horwitz.
The chickens have come home to roost. Find out whose fence they're perched on today on AgriTalk.
Welcome back to AgriTalk. I'm Chip. Glad that you are with us on this Wednesday afternoon, day before USDA reports. We're going to get you ready for that with Matt Campbell from StoneX Group. How you doing, Matt?
I'm doing well, Chip. How are you?
Well, how well are you? I mean, at this time of the year, we can figure out a lot by asking how good your bracket is.
Well, yeah, that's true. My bracket is like out of a 10, it's probably about a 6 right now. So it's unfair.
Yeah. So here's the weirdest thing. I've got one team left in the West. I've got two teams left in the East. I've got three teams left in the South. and I've got four teams left in the Midwest. So, I mean, the four teams left in the Midwest, I'm ending with that because that's pretty damn good.
We'll leave on a high note. That's a good idea.
Leave on a high note. But that's 10 out of 16. Hey,
yeah, that's pretty good. That's better than I'm doing.
Oh, shoot. Who you got in that championship game?
Purdue and Arizona, but I'm not feeling very confident about that.
Well, I had Dayton taking out Arizona.
Okay.
Yeah, so that didn't work. But Purdue's still in the round. Yep.
Yep, exactly. Let's see what the Clones can do tomorrow night, though.
That's right. That's right. I've got it. You know me. I couldn't not check the box for Iowa State. So I've got them in the final against Duke.
Gotcha. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. So we'll see. Indeed. Everything else good? How you doing this spring?
Good. Just finished up the farm meeting tour and ready to get back in the office for tomorrow's report and then see what the weather and planning progress shows in April.
What did you learn out there on the road and meeting with farmers?
Well, I mean, it's pretty topical. It fits into the conversation today, but I get the impression that the Iowa states want to lean heavy corn. You know, I think they've had a lot of reasons to go that direction. I think profitability would probably slightly favor corn. I think that the fall agronomy and even the winter agronomy season was fantastic. I think even the areas that had probably less than expected or probably poor growing conditions last summer produced a pretty darn good crop. So I think that's what we'll see in the Iowa states. The surrounding states might be something different, but that was kind of what my winter meetings would have told me.
Mm-hmm. You know, Matt, this has been one of the strangest winters when it comes to conversation about acres that I can remember. And the reason that I say that, and I agree with you. I agree with you completely on your comment about profitability. You know, for most guys in the I states, when we talk about profitability, we're still looking at corn as having the edge over soybeans.
Yep.
But it's probably split in half the number of analysts that have come on the show. Half of them say the profitability nod goes to corn. The other half say it's obviously with soybeans.
Exactly.
So where we end up on that, we'll find out.
That's right. And tomorrow starts the process. You know, I think that's an important thing to remember about this report. This is a starting point, not an ending point. And, you know, survey-based reports, you always know it's kind of a garbage in, garbage out. We'll see what happens. But, you know, by June is when I think we'll have a little more edge toward corn tomorrow. Really a lot to be determined yet.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, Brian Grady from Pearl Farmer was on the show on yesterday. And they did a survey at Pearl Farmer and I think the average on corn was 91.75. Mm-hmm. And he said, you know what? We talk about profitability all the time. We talk about, you know, the economic incentive to move acres around. And he says, it's agronomic.
It is. And I mean, like the history would suggest it's, you know, there's a lot of rotational considerations, but even in a fast planting pace, you know, that's one of those things you get going, you get moving in a dry April and you end up with increased corn acres in June too. So a lot depends on some of those, you know, just logistical components of that spring timeframe as well.
Yeah. Yeah, that's right. You get to the end of the week and you accidentally planted another quarter section of corn.
It happens, right?
It happens. Indeed. It happens. Okay. Yeah. So the average trade guess, according to the survey by Reuters, is 91.776 million acres of corn. The range is fairly wide, 90 million even up to 93.47. USDA Ag Outlook Forum was 91, and a year ago it was 94.64. So what do you think of that 91.776?
Well, my thought is I hope that's where we are or below, because you plug in something larger than that and it basically puts a new crop balance sheet projection together that looks, you know, drought resistant almost. So I think that's a sticker shock kind of number. If you get north of 92, even if it's in the range of estimates, that's just a number that is going to be a difficult thing to continue to kind of claw forward, claw higher in the market. My bias is probably seeing something in that, you know, near average trade guesses, maybe slightly below, and then again, creeping higher into that June 30th report. So that's my guess. I think you could see just an overall combined, you know, corn bean acres combined being less than expected in an average trade guess. And then again, we'll find those as we go forward in the spring.
Yep. You know, there are times when matching the trade expectations is a negative number or a positive number. But it sounds to me like you're thinking if we get this 91.8 million acres of planted corn in the prospective plantings report, there's nothing positive about that.
I think north of that, and it really does. I mean, you start to look at what 92.5-93 million acres looks like in print, and you're talking about a 2.8 billion bushel corn carryout. It's just something that I don't want to see that sticker shock. I think we've got a lot of things that we can build on right now. We've got a large fund short. We've got a Safrina forecast that does not look very favorable for April, May. We've got, whatever we want to say about the summer forecast. I think most people think this is going to be an above average temperature forecast for the summer. So these are things that, you know, typically you're not going to see a spec trader want to just hold a long-term short position in the market during the growing season. So I'd like to get past this report unscathed, hopefully see that seasonality play in the corn market and give us an opportunity to get some marketing done.
Okay. Okay. Now for corn producers, what is the conversation sounded like? Well, maybe we should do the expectations for the March 1 stocks first.
Okay.
We're sitting here for corn at 8.4 and a quarter billion bushels. A year ago, it was 7.4 billion bushels. I don't know if we can even... Yeah, as soon as I say it, it's going to be a hell of a surprise. But I haven't seen anything on the usage side or from last year's supply that really makes me think, boy, there's a lot of vulnerability in this March 1 number.
That's my take too. I mean, from a usage perspective, you know, we've got some things we can look at. We've got the census numbers, we've got the weekly shipping numbers, we've got some things that give us an idea of what DEIS Jan Feb corn usage was. Yeah. The big, you know, wild card is obviously going to be feed usage. So, but what I've looked at, you know, what the implication is, we're kind of average trade guesses would imply about 320 million bushels more corn consumed this year's second quarter than last year's. Right. That seems fair, if not understating. I think we could possibly see a slight bullish surprise in the stocks number based on cheaper corn prices, animal numbers that are a little higher. Those things could potentially give us some level of support in the stocks portion of the report. But it's a little bit of a crapshoot because you still don't know. You know, they could still make some changes on the production side from 2023. I don't know what those would be off the top of my head, but that's always a wild card.
Yeah, it certainly is. But the other point that I should have made to begin with here is I'm not seeing anything from the basis market that would suggest regional supplies are super heavy or super light compared to what the production numbers showed us in January.
Yeah, that'd be my take too. If there were anything, I mean, maybe you could say the Southwest Corn Belt maybe was a little smaller than people thought, and maybe the Northwest Corn Belt was a little bigger than people thought. But I think that'd be the only things that would stand out to me right off the bat.
Right, right. So, what does the conversation sound like right now? And when you talk about getting some downside risk protection in place,
I think that there's, you know, I mean, something we've talked about. There's an awful lot of grower cash length in the market. I think there's a lot of people that are really hoping that seasonal pattern plays out. I think that there is a perception that tomorrow's report does have risk. You know, like I talked about, the sticker shock potential could be something that's real. What's kind of interesting though is the price action on the day of the report doesn't really mimic much of the after report follow through. So it almost is kind of a one day splash and then things kind of do a different thing the week after. So we'll see what that means for tomorrow.
Okay. I want to talk more about that.
Sure.
When we come back, we got to take a break here, but price action on the day of the report maybe being different than the follow-up price action. We'll talk about that more with Matt Campbell from StoneX Group here on AgriTalk.
Let's go to the markets page at ProFarmer.com and check today's closes, where July hard red winter wheat futures were steady, 574. July SRW wheat was up 3.5 cents to 562.75. May corn futures were 5.75 cents lower at 426.75. December corn closed at 462.25, down 5.75 cents. May soybean futures were 6.5 cents lower today, 1192.5. November beans closed at 1183.5. That's down 7.5 cents. July cotton 242 points lower at 91.44. On your livestock, April fat cattle were 50 cents higher, 183.60. April feeders 142.5 higher, 246.87.5. And April lean hog futures 52.5 higher at 86.10. Get more market news every market day. Visit tryprofarmer.com. Opinions expressed on AgriTalk do not necessarily reflect the views of Farm Journal Broadcasting, affiliate stations, or sponsors. We've cleared the schedule for you. Give us a call at 855-482-5524 and join the conversation.
Welcome back to AgriTalk. I'm Chip. Glad you're with us. We're in the middle of a conversation with today's guest analyst, Matt Campbell from StoneX Group, getting you ready for tomorrow's quarterly grain stocks and the prospective plantings report. Okay, Matt, what you said at the end of the last segment, price action the day of the report might not look like the follow-up price action. What are you talking about there?
Well, what I should say is, you know, this report also coincides with the quarter end for the financial markets. And, you know, that can always bring about a little bit of some squirreliness with maybe position squaring, et cetera, for quarter end. But either way, the report has had a pretty big impact. You look back historically, corn, you know, it's not uncommon to see 10 to 20 cent moves, and beans, it's very uncommon to see. I mean, it's very common to see, you know, 30 plus cent moves on the day of the report. But what's been interesting is that it hasn't been a trend changer, or it hasn't had a meaningful follow through in either market for some time. When you look at corn, you know, the following week, you're kind of back to the drawing board. I think weather just becomes too much of a driver, and you digest the report day one. It's interesting to look at beans in particular. Every year since 2018, what you've seen the day of the report, the change the week following has been in the opposite direction. So it doesn't have a long-term impact. You know, this year, I think the stakes are a little higher, but maybe you can just see historically this day, this has a big impact day of, just not that follow through like you might see from the January report or even the June 30th stocks report, an acres report.
Yeah. You know, I think from a trader's perspective, if this report just injects some volatility into the market, they're going to call it a win, right?
I think so. Yeah, we've been dealing with, you know, very low vol, basically long-term trends and not a lot of excitement. And, you know, maybe we're shifting gears. I always view this report as the kickstart to the growing season. And then you just naturally have that volatility. We'll start to ratchet up, you know, up or down price-wise. You do see, you know, weather starts to play a bigger role. And that's far more uncertain than anything we've been seeing to date. So,
right. Okay. Soybeans, the average trade guess from the Reuters survey, 86.53 million acres planted to beans. You go back to USDA's Ag Outlook Forum, and USDA told us about a million acres more than that, 87.5. A year ago, it was 83.6, so up considerably, up almost 3 million. From where we were a year ago. And then the range of analysts' expectations here, 85.35 up to 88. If we would get an 88, good grief.
It would not be a good thing. You know, it's interesting when you reference the Ag Forum. I think when we saw those numbers, the collective market thought that looked low on corn and high on beans. And then you look at the average trade guess, and I do think that the average trade guesses for both are representative of what, you know, we've been talking about. I think that's a pretty good midpoint for what people have been trading. Now, they're both very large ranges, but the midpoints fit, you know, a lot of what we've been looking for. I'm kind of in line with I think corn is going to, I don't see really anything that strikes me as a big deviation from average trade guess, but the reality is we're not that great at estimating acres in this report. You know, that's the unfortunate reality. We don't do a great job. We can be, you know, a million to 2 million acres off in corn, and, you know, 1 to 2 million acres off in beans. It's not that far-fetched to see some of those kind of things take place in this report, but it still doesn't always have just a direct price impact, you know, the week after these numbers are dropped. So,
yeah. Yeah. That's interesting. We are going to very quickly be looking for the next item that's going to move prices, and it's going to be the U.S. growing season and the weather expectations there, right?
Yeah, that's my opinion. And I should reference one comment more on acreage and soybeans. Yeah. You know, there is a pretty strong tendency for the USDA to come in below trade guesses in this report. So, you know, that is kind of the tendency, you know, and we're kind of a mixed bag on what we expect versus what corn acreage is. But then again, you do tend to see more acres in corn in that June report than you do the March. So it's a little bit, you know, those are the only real tendencies into this, but we'll see what happens tomorrow.
Okay. All right. The trade expectations on the March 1 bean stocks, 1.828 billion bushels. March 1 a year ago, 1.687. It's not even really a very wide range on the analyst estimates, 1.74 up to 1.99 billion bushels. Yeah, there's some width to that, I guess. But I don't know. And, you know, you sit here and you try to anticipate this quarterly grain stocks report. And part of the reason that the grain stocks moves the markets is because it's hard to anticipate.
Yeah, I mean, so on the stock side, this always plays second fiddle to acres, right? You know, it's a tougher thing for us to get a grasp on. So it's always going to be kind of secondary to the acres, which is going to have a knee-jerk reaction. But when you look at what the stock's impact was, if you were to equate it into an acreage, you know, like equivalent, you're talking about, you know, 700,000 acre miss on stocks. That's kind of the surprises we've seen in the stocks report over the years. When you look at the beans, I personally think beans, I hesitate to use the word easy, but you don't have the feed component in beans. Right. So you're really talking about crush and exports, of which we get plenty of data throughout the year and, you know, weekly and monthly data. So when you look at what the expectations are on average trade guess, we're talking about implied bean demand being down 160 million bushels this Dec/Jan/Feb versus last Dec/Jan/Feb. When you look at the actual data, crush is going to be about 45, 50 million bushels above last year. Exports are about down 215 million bushels. So what I would say is, to me, it looks like we're fairly approximating the usage numbers, and I don't see a real surprise looming in the bean stocks. The corn stocks still looks like we might be overestimating the stock number, but beans look pretty fair.
Okay. All right. The monthly crush numbers that we're getting, number one, it's hard not to be impressed because they're pretty eye-popping. But at the same time, they're supposed to be eye-popping.
Exactly. You know, there's a couple of things. I think we also underestimated how much capacity was offline during the cold snap we had in January.
Yeah.
But then the Feb crush numbers were, you know, off the charts good. And I think, you know, you're right. We're seeing new capacity. We're going to have a new plant opening up and grinding in Iowa here in the next month or so. And I mean, there's some plants that are going to be taking extended downtime as they expand. The crush capacity number is expanding pretty rapidly, and it should for the next 18 months too. So we should be setting new records on monthly crush on beans as crush margins still remain pretty strong.
Okay. All right. What does the conversation sound like about risk management on soybeans?
I personally think there's a lot of old crop, you know, looming, lurking out there on for growers to make sales on for both crops. So I think, honestly, that's probably the biggest rally limiter on things. You know, we expect to see the funds maybe get a little bit uncomfortable with some adverse weather. Maybe they start to buy their shorts back, but you're going to see the grower sell into that rally. And there'll be a big risk exchange as the funds cover the shorts and the farmers cover their longs. And that'll be probably done at a higher price than here if we can get through this report unscathed. And I think that's the general idea. Scale up kind of marketing seems to be, I don't think people have pie in the sky just based on the conversations. I think people have realistic price targets. I think people have a need to maybe keep marketing old crop. New crop also remains pretty undersold. So, you know, there's offers above the market. I think it's just up to the market to go up there and grab them.
Okay. In the old crop market, the July contract beans, there's that gap up there around 1305, 1306. Yeah. Is that in play?
It's very much in play. And I don't like to say these things because I know everybody, oh, Campbell said it's going up to 1250 and no crop or $13. But realistically, that's a very attractive target. You know, it's about the 62% retracement of the entire break we saw from November all the way to February. It fits a lot of those technical targets. Just that gap looms like perfectly. We've been trading above the 40-day moving average. I think the moving averages look supportive. You know, there's a lot of things to build on. It's just got to get through this report tomorrow. So, if I'm looking at targets on the upside, that's probably the first thing I'm looking at. I don't start my selling up there. I'm probably more inclined to finish up that area, but those are probably realistic objectives, and that would fit historical summer weather rallies for both corn and beans to go back to kind of the scene of the crime. And the scene of the crime took place the start of this calendar year.
Don't be afraid to sell into the strength is what I'm hearing you say.
That's what I would say. We're set up with a large stock position. Unless we have, you know, you're probably looking at, we need to have a serious growing season problem to take us, you know, make a sustained move above that. So if that's the case, I think you just have to mark into that, not wait for it.
Yep. Either a growing season problem or extreme patience as we wait for the demand to dig us out of this hole.
That's right. Yeah, exactly.
I don't know if anybody's got enough patience for that, dude.
No, that could be a long-term waiting period for a little bit here to dig through that kind of level of inventory.
No doubt. Dude, you're always a great conversation around these reports. Thank you so much.
You're very welcome, Chip.
Hey, appreciate you a bunch. That's Matt Campbell with StoneX Group. Now, when we come back, Davis and I are going to have to put a wrap on our expectations for the reports. We'll do that. And there is a little bit of basis movement that we need to talk about. We got a call with a report on what's going on with some basis, Western Iowa and Eastern Nebraska. We'll talk about that next here on AgriTalk.
AgriTalk is brought to you by Acuron. Discover 5 to 15 more bushels per acre with Acuron corn herbicide. Acuron is a restricted-use pesticide. Welcome back to AgriTalk, everyone. Thanks so much for tuning in. Your pal, Davis Michelson, here with Chip Flory.
Yo.
Good conversation with Matt Campbell from StoneX. We'll talk report expectations and all this sort of stuff. I want to go back over some things here. From the conversation with Matt, Bubba talking about the potential for a big drop in cattle futures. Part of his rationale is that the economy actually does suck and that eventually it's going to be a drag on beef, on cattle.
Right.
Your thoughts?
On beef demand. Not so much on cattle demand as it would be on beef demand.
Yeah.
It's two different things. We're going to talk about that a little bit on Friday.
Okay.
But so there's something to watch out for. But the bottom line is markets have to flush from time to time. And the cattle market has not flushed for quite some time. It ran from September down to December and then December up until now. We got the March cattle on feed report, And people kind of look at that placement number and say, boy, that really triggered some aggressive selling. I don't know, Davis. I mean, to me, it's that mission accomplished trade.
Okay.
Is what's going on with the funds basically saying, okay, the cash market made a new high. That's all we were looking for.
Mm-hmm.
No reason to stay in a long position and watch profits start to dry up on us. Let's go ahead and take what we got. Mm-hmm. So yeah. I think that's what's going on. Now, the way that the market snapped back today and closed well off session lows, boy, don't ignore that. Don't mm-hmm. ignore that, because the initial reactions that we've seen in the cash markets were negative, but the cash markets can reverse that fairly quickly and spruce things up as early as next week. So just continue to watch.
Okay. A lot of talk about the report coming out tomorrow. A lot of talk about acreage, obviously. Matt is sort of expecting, on a historical basis, is expecting mm-hmm. USDA to come in slightly light on corn acreage. Did I hear that correctly? And then
we'll
probably see that number come up in the following report in June. Yeah?
Right.
Okay.
Yeah, that's the history. And then the March number on beans, a little heavy, and then back it off. And that's got more to do with weather than anything else.
I suppose.
It really does. If we get in the field and get rolling, and like I said, oh, look what I did. I accidentally planted another quarter section of corn.
Whoops.
Stuff like that happens, you know. But one of the things that I was reminded of in the conversation with Matt is that tomorrow is one of the top, it's got to be in the top three of report days for the grain markets, Davis, as far as reports bringing some volatility into the grain trade.
Mm-hmm.
And I was half joking when I said to Matt that I think traders, and by that I mean the guys that the market makers, the guys that are providing liquidity by getting in and out of the market on a daily basis, traders, if all the reports do is add some volatility to the markets, to the grains, they're probably going to call it a win. And I think that makes
mm-hmm.
sense.
Mm-hmm.
If they can get some incentive to more actively trade the markets on a daily basis, then I think they're going to call it a win. And if we bring some volatility into the market, opportunity is going to come along with that because mm-hmm. of the increased risk that's in the market. Also comes increased opportunity. And then it's, hey, find your spots.
Yep.
Find your spots that you want to take advantage of it.
Yep. Speaking of spots, are there spots you're going to be looking in the reports you want to highlight quick?
You know what? I'm going to go straight to the acreage numbers.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I've got to look at first, mm-hmm. just because that's where everybody's attention is. We went over it on corn and soybeans. 91.776 million acres is the average trade guess on planted corn acres. Soybeans, 86.53 million. All wheat comes in at 47.33 million. Winter wheat, 34.87 million. Other spring wheat, 10.89 million. And durum wheat, the average trade guess is 1.652 million acres. Then on the quarterly grain stocks report as of March 1, which, if there is a trend changing, trend setting, trend accelerating, trend anything that happens from the reports, it'll probably come from the quarterly grain stocks report. The average trade guess on wheat stocks in all positions, 1.044 million bushels, billion bushels, geez. Corn, 8.427 billion, and soybeans, 1.828 billion bushels, the average trade guess there. All right.
All right. Yeah, that sounds great. Do we have time to talk Western Iowa, Northeast Nebraska basis, or probably not?
Just got a call that said, listen, corn basis in Western Iowa, Northeast, and in Eastern Nebraska,
yeah,
is really pretty strong. And it is, until you start comparing year to year. Year to year, it's fairly steady, but that basis over there has been strong, quote unquote strong, for the last 2 years because of the short crop in the 22 year.
Okay.
So I think that's a big part of the reason there.
Indeed.
All right. All right. Very good. Hey, we got a full show coming your way tomorrow morning. Dan Bossi will go over the report expectations with Dan. Terry Johnston from Farm Rescue. We got a full show tomorrow morning, 10:06 Central.